Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. Lord, as we stand here on the street corner, God, we just thank you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that we do have a living hope. Father, a living hope in Jesus Christ for what he accomplished on the cross. Lord, that every chain is broken. We've been set free from the penalty of our sin. Lord, we no longer have to fear death, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. Not because of anything we've done, Lord, but because of what you've done and what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Father, I just pray today as we go through your perfect and your holy scriptures today, as we continue in our study of Matthew, Father, that you would speak to our hearts today, that your Holy Spirit would be so evident here, God. Lord, we know that you're here. You promise us that you're here when we gather. But God, sometimes our old hardened hearts get in the way. And so God, I just pray that you would soften our hearts and that we would put aside all the distractions, put aside the sounds of the traffic behind us and the motorcycles and all those things. And we just focus on what you have to say to us this morning. Lord, because you are our living hope in the middle of this dying, crazy world. Lord, we put our hope in you. We put our hope in Jesus this morning. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew. We're going to be finishing up, not our study of Matthew, but we're going to be finishing up chapter 6 today. So this journey through Matthew has already taken us a long ways, and it's going to take us probably another year or two, if not more, to complete this book. But you know what? We got until Jesus returns or when we die, whatever. So we're going to keep on. We got to preach something. So we're just going to keep going line by line, verse by verse. And I've told it before, and this is why I've kind of picked Matthew to go through next. It just tells so much about the story of Jesus and his life and his ministry and all those things in such good detail. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. So I'm enjoying studying it through the week, and I'm definitely enjoying coming and preaching it to you on Sundays. The title of the sermon today is A Warning About Worry. Anybody else here ever deal with anxiety or worry, or am I the only one? Okay, I've been studying all week. Is that it? Y'all are lying this morning. Y'all are a bunch of, we're in church. Yeah, Corbin said he worries about me a lot, but my mental capacity, I think. But anyways, you know what? I was studying this all week, and I've got a sermon to preach to you on worry and all those things, and I found myself this morning looking up saying, oh, I hope it doesn't rain. Oh, I hope it doesn't rain, because we haven't really set up the sanctuary yet and everything. And so I was worrying this morning when I'm getting ready to preach a sermon on not to worry. So here we are on Father's Day. Last week we saw where Jesus was warning us about storing up our treasures on earth. He warned us that this worldly stuff, all of our worldly treasures, anything that we try to build up on earth, it can be eaten up, it can be destroyed, and it can be stolen. That's why Jesus told us to store up our treasures in heaven. And he didn't just tell us that. I love that. And we're going to see that again today. Jesus doesn't just leave us hanging out there. He gives us this promise about our heavenly treasures. He says what? He said that they cannot be eaten up, they cannot be destroyed, and they cannot be stolen. Nobody can take what we have in Christ from us. Jesus told us that wherever our treasure is, there the desires of our heart will also be. And he closed by reminding us that we are all going to be slaves to something. Even from birth, we're slaves to sin. And so from it doesn't matter who you are, where you are in life, whatever, you are a slave to something. And he told us that we have to make a choice. That was the sermon title last week, was we have to choose one or the other. You got to choose one or the other. Are we going to be a slave to this world, or are we going to be a slave to Christ? We cannot serve both God and money. Well, today Jesus expands on this topic, and he warns us about the danger of us worrying about all these worldly things and spending so much time worrying. And although this is not technically a Father's Day sermon, I think it is very fitting that we find ourselves here talking about worry on Father's Day, because for me, at least, as the provider of my family, we're a single income family, I have spent my share of time, and I'm going to share a little bit of a testimony about that today, about worrying about will my family have enough. And when we decided for Jenny to start staying at home and teaching the kids, I was like, I don't know, this isn't going to make sense. And I still sometimes, I worry about the bills, and I worry, are we going to have enough funds or enough money to make things, to make ends meet, or to do this or do that? It's hard not to worry about things. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 25 through 34, and we're going to see what Jesus says about worry. Starting at verse 25, it says this: "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds." Let's just stop for a minute. Listen to the birds. "Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" I think he asked me that all the time. Verse 31 goes on to say this: "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." And he closes this chapter by saying this. He says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for your perfect handbook that we have, not only to life here on earth, to a life more abundant, but Lord, a life eternal with you and your kingdom. God, I just pray today as we go through this passage. God, in my simple human ways, I try to explain what you explained already so perfectly in the scripture. I don't know what else I can say. But God, I just pray today that there's somebody that's struggling with worry today. And it's not just me. There's somebody that's listening online or somebody here today that is so bound up in those chains of worry and anxiety that they're robbed of their joy. The devil literally has them chained and shackled in their worries of what's going to happen in this life or what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen with this or that? And so, God, I just pray today that those chains would be broken this morning. Not because of anything I say, but because of what your truth says in your word. God, may we receive it this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if there's ever been a time when people are worried, if there's ever been a time where people are anxious about everyday life, it is June 2020. Amen? We got some crazy stuff going on. It's right now. I saw a meme the other day. If those of you that don't know what that is, that's one of those pictures with the words and the captions above it and below it. I saw a meme the other day. I didn't really know what that was until a couple months ago. But anyways, I saw a meme the other day that had a squirrel holding a flamethrower. Anybody else see that? He's holding a flamethrower and he's shooting flames, this little squirrel. And it says, "Breaking news, Korean flame-throwing squirrels have reached the U.S. And of course, that was a joke, but it made me laugh because I was like, this is the way that this year has kind of been, right? It's been a crazy year. Like, what's coming up next? And we're only halfway through the year. But people have been so worried about what's going to happen in the near future. We've seen it firsthand with all the COVID mess. People are worried about everyday life. Worry, worry, worry. What's the new norm going to be? That's what we've been worrying. Everybody hear that? What's the new norm going to look like? What if the grocery store is all closed? What are we going to do for food? What if I get laid off? How am I going to pay the rent? Or I've been laid off. How am I going to pay the rent? What am I going to do? What's going to happen? And don't forget the obsession we seem to have with toilet paper. I don't know what that's all about. But we are a bunch of spoiled, worldly-minded worry warts. That's what we are here in America as a whole. Now, some of y'all might not worry about anything. But as a whole, most of us are worried to death about something all the time. Look at verse 25 through 30, and we're going to read it in just a second. I want you to remember something before we read this. If you go back to the passage from last week, In verse 24, Jesus just finished telling us that we cannot. He said you shouldn't. He didn't say you shouldn't or it's hard to. He said you cannot serve both God and money. And then he says this in verse 25 through 30. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. He said, I like that. He said, that's why I tell you this, because you can't serve God and money. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest, and they don't store in barns, for their heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies in the field, how they grow. They don't work for their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory, and we know Solomon had all kinds of stuff. He would have been on MTV Cribs today. I don't even know if they have that show anymore. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers who are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have such little faith? Jesus is trying to get us to understand in this passage. He's trying to get his disciples to understand that the material things and the wealth, what they do is they give us a false sense of security in life. The person who pursues money thinks that the more money they could have, if I could just get some more money, if I could just win the lottery, if I could just get that 10, if I could get that promotion, everything would be better. If I could just get a little bit more money, if I could get a little more ahead, I'd be better off. But the reality is this, the more money we have, the more riches we have, the more problems that go along with it. Think about it. The more you have, the more you have to work to keep it up. The more you have, the more you have to protect it, to make sure it doesn't get lost or stolen. Used to be an old rap song, "More money, more problems." Sorry, I grew up in the 90s. Not a church-appropriate song. I don't know, I shouldn't have even put that in the sermon. But we spend so much time worrying about money and worldly things, but there's truth to that. There's truth to that, because the more money that we have, the more problems that go along with it. Jesus tells us in verse 26 that we should learn from the birds. They don't have a grocery store to get their food from. Think about it, church. They don't have a deep freezer to store their food. They don't have a food pantry. Yet they go about their everyday life flying around singing God's song every morning. I love sitting on the porch early in the morning, having my cup of coffee and reading my devotion that we've been doing on the phone, on the app, and maybe reading, studying for the sermon for the week, and just listening to the birds sing. Listen to them. They don't sound worried to me. They don't have to worry about what they're going to eat. They don't have to worry, about what they're going to do tomorrow, what's going to happen to them, or if they're going to lose a job or any of that stuff. They just go about life living under the provision that God gives them. So that's why they don't have to worry, because God takes care of them. Jesus says this, your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't say that their heavenly Father, he didn't say their heavenly Father takes care. He says, my heavenly Father takes care of those birds. And if he takes care of those birds, why would he leave us out when we were created in his image? We have a heavenly Father who loves us. That's what Jesus is reminding us. We have a heavenly Father who will and promises us that he will provide for us. Jesus goes on to say this, aren't you more valuable than they are? If God takes care of the birds like this, won't he do even more for us? I debated on whether to share this testimony with you today because, number one, you probably think I made it up. Or maybe, you know, and I also had this thing that came through my mind. Well, I don't know if even God wants me to share that, because that's a moment that me and God had in their time together. And sometimes those things are just meant to be between you and God. But the more I went on, I decided I was going to share this morning. About, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, I was a young father. Grace and Blake were a year and maybe 6 months old and a year and a half old, whatever. And Jenny had just started staying at home with the kids, and we were eating ramen noodles every night. I mean, we were about as strapped as we've ever been. We were really, really tight. I remember, you know, hearing stories of my parents tell me there was times they had to go into the couch and find some change, you know, to buy bread and all those things. Well, this was our season of that. And I was feeling sorry for myself. I'd already recommitted my life to the Lord. I was already reading the Bible, and I was trying to get in the Word. And I had this read through the Bible, in a year plan that my pastor at the time had given me. And I was determined that I was going to read through the Bible. And every morning I would get up and I would just check the little list, okay? And so I wake up this morning and I go down to my little shed where I used to sit in my little lounge chair. And I would sit there and I would read and pray. And I was sitting there and I remember worrying that morning. I remember thinking like, God, what am I going to do? What if I lose my house? And what if I can't, you know, pay my car payment and the car gets repoed and all these. And I was so riddled with worry about worldly stuff. I mean, to the point of not sleeping at night. And I open up the Bible and I go through my checklist and Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34 that we are today was the just happened to be the scripture that I was at for read through the Bible in a year. And I read through that and I said, man, isn't that something? What a cool coincidence. And as I'm sitting there, it's like the Lord had to slap me across the face. I'm sitting there and after I got done reading, I was just thinking about all my worries and all those things. And I looked up and this bird flew down and landed about from me to Corbin, right there just about 10 or 20 feet from me, and landed on the ground and just looked at me for a second. Like, are you watching? Like he was saying, are you watching this? And he leaned down and he got a worm. I'm not making this up, church, I promise. He got a worm and he picked it up and he gobbled it down. And he looked at me again, and he flew away. And you know what I could do? I just wept. I wept. And I know without a fact, I know without a doubt, I mean, for a fact, that God spoke to me that morning through that bird. I know that God used that little bird just to teach me how stupid and how little faith I really had because I was worrying about all these worldly things. I remember looking up to the sky and just saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Isn't life more than my house? Isn't life more than a new car? Isn't life more than me having the finest meal at night or whatever, the nicest clothes or whatever? So many times I have to go back to that little bird eating that worm in my life. And each time I do, when I start to worry about things, each time I do, I'm filled with that unexplainable peace all over again in my heart that only God can give us. You see, we are not to waste time. We're not to waste energy worrying about whether we'll have enough to eat or enough clothes to wear or whatever worries us all the time. Jesus asks us this question that he already knows the answer to. He says, can all the worries add a single moment to your life? You see, I believe Jesus not only was talking about spiritually, but he also knew long before the doctors of today knew that stress and worry was bad for our health. Jesus knew it. He knew it wasn't good for us physically. Here's just a few known facts. These were the first six that popped up on Google when I spoke it into my phone this week. Facts about worrying and how it affects your health. Number one, it weakens your immune system. Number two, worry leads to digestive disorders. It causes muscle tension. It causes short-term memory loss. It even causes premature coronary artery disease. And I don't even know what that is, but I don't want it. It will increase the chance significantly of me having a heart attack or you having a heart attack. These are just the few first things that popped up that we know that worry and anxiety and all those things add to our life. And these are just a few. We worry about things that we think we need so much that we're literally killing ourselves by worrying about them. Now, how much sense does that make? We're worrying about things that we think we need so much that it's shortening our life. Jesus says not even to worry about what clothes we're going to put on our back or what clothes we're going to wear. He uses the flowers and the lilies in the field as an example. And he says, you know what? They don't have to worry about what they're going to wear. They don't get up every morning and say, I got to look nice this morning. God made them so perfect that they cannot be duplicated. I don't care how well somebody remakes a flower. You ever seen the fake flowers? They cannot duplicate the real thing. No matter how good they look, they don't have the smell. They don't have the need for the things that the bees need, that nature need from them. They don't have the splendor and the touch. They don't have the perfection that a real flower and a lily has. We spend so much time worrying about clothes. We spend so much time in front of the mirror. Ladies, you probably are the worst. Some men probably spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. I don't know. But I try to convince Jenny this all the time. You know, she's in there putting her makeup on and all these things, and she thinks I'm just trying to earn brownie points. When I tell her this, I'm like, you don't need makeup. Like, quit wasting all that time and say, you're beautiful just the way you are. Any husbands out there with me, you better raise your hands. You know it's good for you. When God has made you and clothed you in His perfection and His design, why in the world do we worry about what we look like? We were made in God's image. So if God keeps all of nature from falling apart, if He keeps all of it, He keeps the sun coming up every morning, He keeps the birds fed, He keeps the animals taking, the animals keep reproducing so we have food to eat. The trees produce more seeds for and fruit for all those things for us to eat, and they keep reproducing on and on and on and on. The trees produce the oxygen that we have to breathe. Why is it so often that we worry about things like what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear? How much sense does it make? Jesus tells us why we do it. He says, because what? He says, look at verse at the end of that passage. He says, why do you have such little faith? He asks the question. He says, why in the world do you have such little faith? The answer is this. It's because we're depending on ourselves. We're depending on our own efforts. We're depending on our wealth, our money, our possessions, whatever it is, to supply our needs. And I'm going to tell you right now, it'll prove it time and time again. It always, always fails us. It might fail you a week from now. It might fail you on your deathbed, but it is going to fail you. Let's look at verse 31 through 33. Jesus goes on to say this, "Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" I love what he says in verse 32. He says, "These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else." The King James says, "Seek ye the kingdom of God first." And he goes on to say, "Live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." You see, worry is for those who have no hope. Think about it. Worry in worldly things, worry about our provisions and all those things, that is for people who have no eternal hope. Worry is for those who do not believe. Worry is for those who have no relationship with their Heavenly Father. So when we as believers are running around, when I'm running around in life worrying about everything just like the rest of the world, we're telling the world that there's no reason to be a Christian. We're no different than the rest of the world. But when I seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and when I live righteously, people will see that God will take care of me. Without me having to be slaves to my money, without me having to be a slave to my job, without me having to be a slave to my possessions and whatever else it is, God will take care of me. And they'll say, well, how is it that they're living like this and they're not worried about all this mess? They haven't died. They haven't run out of money. But the sad reality of many of us fail to practice this command from Jesus. We fail to practice it. And when we fail to trust God to provide for us, what we do is we become so busy trying to do it on our own that we miss the miracles that God wants to do in our life when He provides for us. So when we spend so much time saying, you know what, I got to work more overtime, and look, it's biblical to work. I'm not telling you to be lazy. And Jesus isn't telling you that, but He's telling you not to worry about these things. Don't let it consume you. Don't be a slave to it. When we trust in God's provision, And we actually get to see those miracles that He wants to do in our life to remind us, see, I'm here and I've got this. I remember my grandfather Clore. We called him Papaw Clore. When I had already knew that the Lord was calling me into the ministry, and I didn't know what it was going to look like. I was worried about it. And I remember sitting with him in his last year or two of his life when he was here on earth. And he was, you know, had been in the ministry for years, and I was just picking his brain and asking him how he knew it was time for him to step away from his retirement and all those things that he had spent so much time investing in with the United States Air Force, and how did he do it, I wanted him to give me all the answers and say it's going to be okay when God was calling me just to stretch it and step out on faith and trust Him. And I remember my grandfather telling me, he said, Anthony, he said, there were some times that we were so poor, that we were so tight, that we would wake up on Sunday morning and say, I don't know what we're going to eat for lunch. We don't have any food to feed the kids. And he would look at my grandmother, her name was Nolan, he'd say, I don't know what we're going to do, and they would just start praying about it. And they would go to leave for church, and they would walk out on the step, and there would be a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter that a church member had just felt led to leave on their doorstep that morning. And he said that through all those times that they were tight and all those times that they weren't sure if God was going to take care of them, he said, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change a single thing, because each time I got to see God provide for our needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Let's look at verse 34 and we'll wrap it up. Jesus closes out this section with one last statement about worry. Look at verse 34. He says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." See, worrying about tomorrow doesn't do one thing to either help tomorrow. It doesn't help tomorrow. It doesn't help the outcome of what's going to happen. And it doesn't help today. In fact, most of the things that we worry about in life, we had a devotion just a few weeks ago that talked about worry. Most of the things that we worry about, if you're really thinking about it, if you think, oh, what if this happens? What if this happens? I don't know, but what if this happens? They never happen. Most of the time, they never even happen. We spend all that time worrying about these things, but they never really happen. And even if they do happen, they usually aren't as bad as we played it out in our head that it's going to be. Either way, worrying about tomorrow robs us of our joy for today. Worrying about tomorrow robs us of our joy that God wants us to have today. So in closing, I want to leave you with this. Just like always, Jesus gives us a path to victory. He gives us not only what we shouldn't do, but he tells us, if you don't want to have to worry anymore, if you want to get over this anxiety and this worry that's got you, it's just dominating you, this is what you got to do. He uses three words in this scripture. If you go back through this passage, look at verse 30. He talks about faith. Look at verse 32. He talks about our Heavenly Father. And look at verse 33. He talks about above all else, or first, seeking the kingdom of God first. Faith. We worry because we have little faith. Where's your faith this morning? We worry because we don't believe that our Heavenly Father will provide for us, that he'll care for his children. And we must put our trust in God first. We must put everything in our life. We must put God's kingdom and his will for our life first. So if you're struggling with worry, if you're struggling with anxiety this morning, where's your faith? Do you know your Heavenly Father? And are you seeking him and his kingdom and his will for your life above all else? He doesn't say, you know, most of the time, above all else, seeking the kingdom of God. Those three things, if you go back through that scripture, if we focus on that, will help us overcome our worry and our anxiety. Simply put, God first in our life. Read his promises in the Bible daily. Seek God with all of your heart. And have faith that your Heavenly Father will care for every one of your needs. Amen? This morning, we're going to sing "It Is Well." And it's well with my soul. And so I want to ask you this morning, this is an old hymn. We probably, you know, it's been sang for years and years, but really listen to what it's saying. Is it really well with your soul this morning? Or are you shackled and are you dominated by worry and anxiety and all the things that of this world that consume us? Is it well with your soul? If there's something that's not well with your soul, if you need to pray and give something to the Lord this morning, if you've never accepted the free gift of salvation that is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, and you're ready to come this morning and receive that, I would be glad to pray with you. Maybe you just want to come and pray, you just need prayer or whatever. You can pray where you are, you can come forward. If you want to join this church, whatever that is, we call this the time of invitation. So you are invited to come forward and pray and do whatever you need to do this morning. Whatever God is leading you to make sure that when you leave here, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for being here today. Man, I'm so encouraged. It's so nice. I could get used to this. I just want to be outside all the time. This is so awesome to be outside, out in the public and proclaiming the truth and worshiping the Lord. Amen? Amen. So make sure you come back next week, weather permitting. We're going to be right here. If it's raining, we're going to do our best to have service inside and apply all the guidelines and everything that the government has put on for air safety. And so make sure you come back. Make sure that you like our Facebook page so you can stay tuned on what we're doing and our plans and all those things. And subscribe to our website at forkunionbaptist.org, because we're sending out emails with all the announcements the best we can so everybody knows what's going on. So Thank you for being here. And again, make sure you grab a coffee mug if you're a first-time guest. We want you to have that and take it with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll close the service. Father, we love you again, and we just thank you that we don't have to worry. Lord, we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat. We don't have to worry about what we're going to wear. Lord, we don't have to worry about all those things that dominate our mind, because you always provide for us. And better yet, we don't have to worry about our eternity if we placed our faith and our hope in you. God, you are a God of provision. You are perfect. You are holy. You love us with every... Lord, you gave your son for us. What else could we ask of you? But Lord, you go beyond that and you meet our physical needs as well. Lord, so we thank you. We acknowledge that this morning. We praise you. Help us this week as we go out into the world to be a living example of the living hope that we really do have in Jesus Christ. Lord, may we proclaim the truth this week, not only by the words we speak, but the actions that we walk out. Lord, we love you. Guide us this week, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.